Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. I am Justin Reed, the minister for the Wood Church of Christ, and we have been examining here on this program, Reading the Word, more of Psalm 119. It is a beautiful passage of Old Testament Scripture. It is laid out in a unique way in that it is an acrostic. We're tackling it in 8-verse sections, and there are 22 8-verse sections. 22 8-verse sections. Let me make sure we all are on the same page with that. And it's divided up according to the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. We're in the fourth section, which is the Daleth section, which corresponds to our number 7. At least that's the way it looks in the Hebrew. But if you would, join with me. I'm going to reread the passage, then we're ready to make some comments on verse 29. Daleth, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. As we're continuing to comment, we're ready for verse 29. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I want us to note something that's very important that I think people in the world today have missed. Lying is learned. Remove me from the way of lying. And sadly, for a lot of people, it's learned early in life, and it's overlooked in many ways of discipline. In Psalm 58 and verse 3, the Bible says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Notice what the psalmist says. He says, they go astray. They're not born astray. They're not born into sin, but they go away. They start lying once they grow, once wickedness, once they learn that lying is a sin and we shouldn't do it. That's when they do it. They don't do it from the beginning. Verse 30, we see that it is wise to choose truth over and over and over. He says, I have chosen the way of truth. Verse 31, I have stuck to thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. He's talking about, I think, in my mind, reminds me of faithful preachers that I know that have preached for 40, 50, 60. I know some people that have preached the gospel for 70 years. Now, I've been doing about 13 years by the grace of God, and if He grants me a long life or a useful life, I plan to keep doing that as long as I have sound mind, ability, and people at least will tolerate hearing me. I don't have the best voice in the world. But I think about faithful Christians who have been faithful, maybe from an early age, on through life, through difficult times, through good times. Can this be said of you? Could God say, well, he has stuck to my testimonies, or she has stuck to my testimonies? If it can't be said of you, I would encourage you to work on that. Verse 32 says, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Walking and running, we see that's the Christian responses to God's commands. We've already talked about walking with God. We talk about Enoch, and we talk about Noah in Genesis chapter 5, Genesis chapter 6. Abraham walked before God, Genesis chapter 17. Deuteronomy 13 and 4, Moses commanded the children of Israel to walk after God. And we see today, Colossians 2 and verse 6, we walk in the Lord. But I want to add to that, when we studied that the first time, I'd like to add to that now. We talk about running. We talk about running. I'm reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. By the way, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one beating the air. But I keep under my body and bring it to subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. When I think about this, I think about the Olympics. When Paul was writing this to those in Corinth, they would have been familiar with the Olympics. And he says, every man runs tries to win the race, but there's only one that wins. Now, they're trying to get a corruptible crown. I think about that laurel wreath that they used to put on the winners' heads back in the early Olympics. We are fighting for an incorruptible crown. He says, so therefore I run not as uncertainty. He says, I know where I'm going. And he says, I'm fighting, but I'm not as one that's beating the air. He's not standing over there warming up for an hour and a half, just punching in the air. Paul says, I am fighting for a reason. Towards the end of his life, in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, Paul knew, writing in prison, Paul knew that he was not going to have much more time here on this earth. And so Paul says in verse 6 of 1 Timothy 4, for now I'm ready to be offered, for the time of my departure is at hand. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul, when he writes to those at Corinth, says, I'm fighting very carefully, and I'm running very carefully. Then towards the end of his life, he says, I've done that. He says, and I know my reward when I cross that finish line. Also, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, the Hebrew writer says, after concluding the hall of fame of faith in chapter 11, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is setting before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We run as Christians. Now, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side of this, we're going to look at Jonah. He is an example of good running and bad running, and then we will continue on with Psalm 119. Please stick with us here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
And we are back. Thank you so much, Brother Dearman, for that fine message. We would love to have you with us at any time that we meet at the Wood Church of Christ. You would be our honored guest, and I believe you would hear something that is very valuable and important to your souls. Now, as we're continuing, I told you on the other side of that break that we would come back. We're talking about running. That's what we're talking about in Psalm 119:32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Now, Jonah, the book of Jonah bears his name. Jonah is an example of running, both in the good and in the bad category. So follow with me here. In chapter 1, Jonah runs away from God. That is wrong. That is bad. Chapter 2, Jonah runs to God. That is right. Chapter 3, Jonah runs with God. That is right. Chapter 4, Jonah runs ahead of God. And that is wrong. So we need to run in working, worshiping, watching, and waiting. Let's continue our reading here in Psalm 119 with the He passage. That's verses 33 through 40. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. He, this is the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and as you may have guessed, it corresponds with our letter H. In verse 33, teach me, O Lord, I am reminded of what is said of the man Ezra. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. And I have this marked in my Bible as I am turning there, and encourage you to do the same. Ezra chapter 7 and verse number 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Here's your mini sermon. If you may preach or you may offer a Wednesday night invitation, this is a go-to of mine, and I borrowed this from Brother Jeff Archie in East Tennessee, so I'm sure he wouldn't mind it if I loan it to you. Ezra 7 and verse 10, number one, Ezra prepared. Ezra had prepared his heart to seek. That's number two, Ezra sought the law of the Lord and to do it. Number three, Ezra did, and to teach in Israel. And number four, Ezra taught. Here you go. Ezra prepared, Ezra sought, Ezra did, and Ezra taught. One more time. Ezra prepared, Ezra sought, Ezra did, and Ezra taught. Coupling that with Luke chapter 2, verse 52, also Ezra chapter 7, and verse 6. Now, when I think about this verse back in Psalm 119 and verse 33, where he says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes," I think about the end. Not the rocky or the stony soil that Jesus talks about in Matthew 13, talking about loyalty. Verse 34, "Give me understanding." Go back to Acts chapter 8 and that eunuch. He could not obey until he understood God's word. It's often been said that there are about 2,000 times in the word of God where God has said, "Do this," or "Do that." Verse 35, couple that with Psalm 2 and verse 1, we see there is delight in the paths of God. We talk about the rich young ruler. He thought he wanted to follow the path that Jesus taught. That's found in Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke chapter 18. The rich young ruler thought he wanted to do what God, what Jesus had said, but he went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Verse 36, I think about Cain and Abel. "Incline my heart to thy testimonies," that's Abel, "and not to covetousness," that's Cain. Cain killed his brother Abel because of covetousness. Achan in Joshua chapter 7 had what I like to call those Achan eyes. Ahab coveted the vineyard of Naboth. In verse 37 it says, "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." We see in the book of Job chapter 31 that Job made a covenant with his eyes that he would not do wicked. He said, "I'm not going to look at wicked. I'm not even going to behold. I'm not even going to entertain the thought of wickedness before mine eyes." Verse 38, we see, if you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 25. Verse 38 says, "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear." In 2 Samuel 7 and verse 25, the Bible says, "And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever and do as thou hast said." Establish thy word to thy servant. And verse 40, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." He longed after the word of God. He wanted it. Psalm 1 and verse 2, "In thy law do I meditate both day and night." One of the first Beatitudes that Jesus says about the third one in Matthew 5 and verse 6, he says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And that's not earthly filling it with food, but that is talking about spiritually speaking. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, we're told the Bereans are more noble than those in Thessalonica, where Paul wrote to those in the Thessalonians, but Thessalonica, because the Bereans came together daily to search the Scriptures to see whether those things were so. They were having people telling them, "Well, this is what God says, that's what God says," and they said, "Well, let's just see what God actually said." And so they met with no other intent but to open the Word of God and apply it to their lives. You know, God's Word makes alive when it's embodied and when it is obeyed. So if you want to be alive, you need to obey what God has said to do. And if you want to die, then don't even give another thought to it. But you're listening to this today, and I'm so glad that you are. You're listening, and that lets me know, I think, that you want to keep doing, that you want to live. We'd love to talk with you. We are located at the Wood Church of Christ on Sally Parton Road in Woodbury. Love to have you at one of our worship services. I'm Justin Reed, the minister for the Wood Church of Christ. This is Reading the Word. The good Lord, may He bless you and keep you.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.